Hi, my name's Andrew Goldstein. Welcome to my first episode of my podcast, What We Owe to Each Other. In this first episode, we're going to be diving straight into the concept of an existential crisis and how we can use those to fuel our motivation to be better. With me today is our guest.
Hello.
He's my dad, and he is a fellow fan of The Good Place.
Such a fan.
Such a good show. So this is the warning, there will be spoilers ahead. So just letting you know now. We're gonna dive straight into it.
Let's do this.
So starting with our concept of the existential crisis, we see this situation first when Chidi sits Michael down and introduces this foreign concept to him that he could be finite. Because Michael lives on forever, but if he messes up, he can get retired, which is not as nice as it sounds. So here's the clip.
Michael.
Yeah.
Is there any way that you can die?
Yeah, actually there is. It's called retirement. It's rare, but when one of us really screws something up.
And what happens exactly?
Well, it's fairly straightforward. My essence would be scooped out of my body with a flaming ladle, and every molecule in my body would be placed on the surface of a different sun.
Sure.
So is that what would happen if your boss found out that you defected to our side?
Yeah.
Okay, so that might actually happen. And if it did, there would be no more Michael. Think about that for a second. Imagine being retired. Everyone else is here, but you, poof. Gone. Nothingness. Inky black void. Duns.
Okay, I'll think about that. Huh. So, you're saying I would be no me?
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
And so we see what's happening here is Michael is realizing that he could be finite and that the impacts that he can make are limited, and therefore they have value. And we want to, I really want to kind of dive into that concept and why it's so important. So starting off in this first phase of realization, Michael has the understanding that he could be finite. And that's that first part of that existential crisis. He realizes that his existence could just halt. It could just end.
And it hits him like a brick wall.
And that's something that happens not just to demons that are trying to torture people through a illusion of heaven, but also in the real world. People have that experience where they realize that their time could be up. And they have this quick reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, the period of time where we lost two of your grandmothers, relatively like within a year of each other, that just really hit me hard. That life, you are not in control of life, and you can't control what age you are when you leave it. And so you really do need to make the best of your time here. Really hit me hard.
It's a crazy kind of thing to realize.
Mm-hmm.
And that can go two ways. You know, you can have that realization, and then because of that, react in a negative way. You could just isolate yourself, not do anything, and that's what people sometimes want to do. Or they can hide from their problems. So like we see after this scene that Michael's at a party. He looks kind of drunk. And he's totally really just drinking away this issue that he has. And that's a stage that we see happen a lot.
Yeah, and that's kind of the denial phase of that emotional curve, which I think we have in grief, we have in, you know, anything bad that happens to us. So like that first stage is kind of like, well, forget it then, it doesn't matter. So I'm just going to just live my life.
Yeah, right. And that can lead to some bad choices and some when it comes to reflecting on your life, that can be something that could be a source of regret. So that kind of realization phase is really important to recognize, because if this is happening to you, and this isn't just like a midlife crisis this can happen at any point in your life. You can realize this and react this way.
Yeah, it's definitely happened for me at like multiple points in my life.
Yeah,
exactly. So I've had existential crises. I have had existential crises when I lost my job once, mm-hmm. When I, before your mom, like when a relationship was kind of closing down and I was realizing I needed to move on. So there are those moments in your life where that I think are kind of existential, but like what Michael was experiencing was more life and death, of just recognizing that life is not forever, even if you are a demon, yeah. or whatever he is.
Yeah.
There are circumstances under which even demons die. And so you kind of see in that scene that recognition, like, oh, wow.
And that's, it's really important to realize when that's happening, because like I said, you can go down that path of forgetting about your problems, pretending like they don't exist kind of thing. And what this podcast is about, you know, what we owe to each other, the premise of it is to focus on how we can turn these concepts, these inevitable ideas into motivation or into inspiration. And so that's kind of what we see happen next, is the next phase of this whole existential crisis is that we accept and we move forward. And that is arguably the most important part.
So, Andrew, in your long 16 years of life, do you feel like you've had an existential crisis yet?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
When?
For sure. So my passion is music, everything about music. And in that industry, it's hard to be recognized in, and it's hard to be successful in. And in the situation that I was in, probably like for roughly 7th, 8th grade, I made some really bad, not physical choices, but mental choices about my understanding of the system that I was in, specifically the school system that I was in. I realized, like, wow, I have this amazing opportunity to do all of these incredible things with music. And instead of doing that, I'm doing 8 subjects every day that don't apply to my mark on the world. And that hurt in way more ways than one. And that took me down a really dark path for a really long time. I was very much in that denial phase for probably a good year or year and a half of the idea that, like, wow, I have all of this passion and I want it to turn into all of this potential and excitement, but I can't right now.
So did something happen? Like, how do you feel like you got out of that arc?
So it is that change in mindset. It's that realization and acceptance that Michael sees. You know, Michael, after his partying moment of just denial, he comes back to Chidi and he's like, thank you for telling me about this. I'm ready to learn. And that moment is the most sacred moment in this whole experience of an existential crisis. I realized I could either waste all this time or figure out how to get better and do the things that I'm required to do on top of that. And when you have that realization and that acceptance and your ability to move forward, that's when you can make change. And that's when you can give back to your community in the way that matters to you. That's when you can ignite that spark.
So that moment, if you can think back to that moment when you made that realization, were you alone? Were you with someone? Was it only a decision you could make, or were you helped by other people around you? What happened in that moment?
Yeah, so most of my really deep emotional realizations and understandings happen inside, just because the things that I'm feeling are so weird and complicated that it's hard enough for me to understand them, much less get them out of my mouth so that someone else can. So that realization came with me. But the motivation to make it happen happened with other people. Similarly to in the show, when we see that Michael realizes, he's like, yes, this is happening. I need help. And that asking for help moment and that moving forward moment is what's so crucial. And if we can embrace that whole cycle in the existential crisis, we can approach it in a way more efficient and motivating way, which I feel like is what happened with Michael and with all the friends, with Chidi and Eleanor and all of that group. What happens is they figure out how to move forward. And I think that's something we can take away from and learn a lesson from and implement that into our own lives.
Yeah, I've had moments where it was definitely the village around me that helped me through a certain situation. But I can also point to things I feel like I'm still going through that are around that existential concept where I'm feeling like help from other people is not resonating for some reason. So for example, when I posted that thing about my mom, it generated this whole group of people that were saying like, no, your mom loved you. She knew, you know, there was no question. You were where you needed to be when you needed to be it. Cause you know, like my whole thing around grieving on my mother is around, I wasn't there when she died and it's plagued me. And there's nothing I can do about to redo that moment. I can't go back, but still when I conjure up like the anniversary of my mom's passing, that's the first thought that comes to me. And it seems like no amount of communal love and guidance has helped me get past that particular thing. Although I can count to other things where it was clearly friends in my life who got me through a really bad phase. So I'm finding in my life, like, yes and no. Sometimes the communal work, like communal effort gets me through a really ugly phase, and sometimes I just have to travel by myself and there's just nothing anybody can say or do.
Do you think that it's kind of a switch that has to go off in your head and then afterwards you can take action through leaning on your friends?
Seems to be like, there is that switch. You know, it's funny, I've been watching, I've been preparing like a lot of leadership things for my team. And one of the things I was looking at was this horse trainer of all things that her method is she gives the horse, always the horse has choice. There's never, when she's training a horse, there's no whips. There's, you know, like you would normally see in like breaking a horse. Like her method is really humane, and it's really about the horse has a choice. They can either be led by her, or they can go off into this like one corner and just be by themselves. Those are their choices, but she can't make that choice for the horse. So she could only give the horse what the options are, but the horse has to choose which way they want to go. And I think that is very much like an analogy for life. It was like you are presented with these moments, and I am presented in these moments too. I can stay in my grief and be absolutely debilitated, or I can acknowledge and move on. And it doesn't make that moment any less painful, but it just, I choose to move on. And moving forward, I choose to kind of shed the emotions of that particular moment and let it go. And that's what this woman's doing with the horse. The horse is acting the way it is because of the past. The horse is not wanting to follow a human because humans have been mean to the horse before. And he or she is afraid to follow this particular new human. But in order to move forward, that horse has to let go of the past.
Make that choice.
And make the choice to.
And then you can lean on the people that you need most.
And then the horse can go on to do all sorts of things. You know, shows, racing, be a ride for people, like all sorts of things. And have a positive interaction with humans. It's really kind of become this like analogy for everything in life. So yes, one day I will make the choice to shed that very hurtful, painful moment that's for me, knowing that my mom didn't want me in the room when she passed away. She was very clear about that. And maybe there's a part of me that recognizes that I was where she wanted me to be. But what's my existential crisis is accepting that where I wanted to be is not where I was. And that's extremely hurtful to me, but somehow I will get past it. But I think it will be a solitary journey. I don't think anyone can help me through that.
And it's just kind of something you have to realize and then move forward. And that's when we can make the change and create the positive environment we want to be in. And that's kind of what the source of this whole lesson is that when you're under that moment of stress, that existential crisis, you can either take the blue pill or take the red pill.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And that choice is up to you. But if you choose the right pill, then you can make the changes in your life that you want to see. And that's really empowering. And it's something I think we should apply to all of our lives.
Yeah, because we can do so much good in this universe. And I think that's where I'm at now. Like, I'm just focused on, I am so insanely blessed, especially like I've been crazy blessed during this COVID-19 stuff. So what can I do is I can pay it forward. I can throw some good into the universe, and see what comes of it.
Yeah. Well, this has been an awesome moment of reflection. Thank you so much for being on my first episode.
Thank you for inviting me to be on your first episode.
Yeah, let's take these lessons and move forward, and make the changes that we want to see. Take Michael as an example. I think that's what we owe to each other right now. Thank you so much. This has been episode 1. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you got something out of it. Yeah. Bye.
All right, bye.